Are you a high-achieving woman who feels stuck in the 9-to-5 and wondering, what's the point? You don't have time or energy for the things you love. Your passions and dreams are collecting dust on the shelf. You crave time and energy for adventures and the people you love, but aren't sure how to do it or where to start? Join holistic nurse practitioner, burnout coach, healer, and surfer mom, Lisa Dunlap, for Nurse Your Soul. This show will empower you to reprioritize yourself, your passions, find joy through adventure, and transform burnout into thriving. Lisa and her guests will uncover the mindset shifts, alternative healing modalities, rituals of self-nurture, endorphin-pumping adventures, and leaps they took to follow their passions and redefine success. Get ready, because this show might just inspire and empower you to drop into your dreams, too. Join us every Friday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome. Hope you're all having a good week. Thanks for tuning in. We're coming to you live Fridays at 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Eastern on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio and TV network, syndicated Boston worldwide. You can listen online, mobile, and in your cars, or you can ask Alexa to launch Dream Vision 7 radio at Dream Vision 7 radio or dreamvision7radio.com. Lisa here, and I have a wonderful guest for your show today, a dear friend and surfer entrepreneur who's going to be sharing her story with y'all to inspire you. Her name is Laurel Senek. I'm going to give you a little more formal background on her here. So Laurel is an author and an award-winning filmmaker and a surf trip guru, and I've had the pleasure of being on one of those surf trips recently. That was very amazing in Puerto Rico. Besides surfing as much as possible, she has just completed her first novel, Foam, which is a surf adventure with a female protagonist filling a missing genre of women's fiction, and it takes the reader on a wild ride of waves, free diving through underwater caves, and a race against time to find an ancient treasure. Her and her husband have recently restored a Caribbean home in Rincon, Puerto Rico. That's where I had the pleasure of going. And she resides here, just like me, in Wilmington, North Carolina, with her hot molten lava husband, Don. Together, they're surfing the waves of life. Welcome, Laurel. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah. So we're going to just start with a little background on who you are. You know, a lot of the listeners are women and women in healthcare, and I know you have a little bit of healthcare background. And so maybe just kind of start with your 9-to-5 job and then how that transitioned a little bit into, you know, your own business and becoming a writer.
Okay. Well, I guess for more than 15 years, I was working in healthcare, mental health, and working with kids who had behavior struggles. And it was actually a really neat service because we went into people's homes. So we kind of closed that gap of what maybe somebody would say when they come to an office or a doctor's appointment or even a therapist appointment, because we're actually in the home working with the family as a holistic thing. But you know, after a while, even though it did meet a lot of my needs as far as helping people, I grew up with a little brother who has special needs. And so I was 9 when he was born, and just having a heart to help those who need a little extra help. And so when I started, actually, before it was mental health, I worked with kids with special needs and then moved into the mental health piece. And but I'm a creative person. So one of the things that helped me in my job was being able to take that creativity and come up with unique ways to reach these kids who are struggling. But before I went into helping others, I actually worked in the film business in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I thought I was living my dream then. Like I, you know, was on a movie set and got to hang out of a helicopter on another movie set. You know, a musician pulls out his guitar and is serenading us over lunch. And I'm like, oh man, this is the coolest. This is what I want to do. That was right out of college. And in, I guess it wasn't 8 years, I was burnt out, completely drained of whatever that enjoyment was in the beginning was not there anymore. But I can't blame it on anybody because I was burning the candle at both ends. I was in my 20s. I was partying. I was like thinking that my identity was this cool job. You know, oh, I've got this cool job. I'm living the dream. And I wasn't. I just woke up one morning and thought, I'm done. I don't even want to do it anymore. I don't know what's going on, but I'm not happy. All the things I thought that were filling me up weren't. And so when I came out of that job, actually went into like working at the health food store for a little bit and just kind of was like undoing a lot of the junk that was in there and just taking a moment to reevaluate. And I think that's something that's important is being able to have a moment or take the time to rest a little bit and get some perspective.
Yeah, I love that. And just because our listeners may be going through the same thing, are you willing to share what some of your feelings of burnout were? What were some of your symptoms? Like, how did you know you were done? Because I think we do kind of wake up and maybe we know we're done, but also it's scary to actually go make that change.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, that was probably the scariest thing I ever did was when the production, because you never knew when you were going to get your next job. Mm-hmm. And when you were out of work, you collected unemployment and you prayed it was only for like a month or, you know, whenever you could get that next job right after the job, you're like, okay. And even though you were working 6 day weeks, 15 hours a day, usually. And then in my 20s, I was, Lord help me, I was not healthy. I had a lot of toxic behaviors at that age. But I guess the burnout was, I knew what it was like to be healthy and whole. And then having that moment, for me, it was a spiritual awakening because I grew up in a healthy home. I knew what feeling good felt like. And so when I woke up that morning and felt like I felt empty. I felt exhausted and I was empty. And I immediately knew, like as soon as the thought crossed my mind, like I don't have anything in me, was that I knew what would fill me up. And so that was, you know, by having a little brother with special needs and seeing my mom walk out her faith in difficult situations, I, in my mind, just went to, okay, God, look, I have prayed when the crap hit the fan and you've always kind of, not that the perfect thing worked out, but I knew you were there. And then I just forget about you all the rest of the time, basically, was what my life looked like, you know, for those years. And I just decided, you know what? I know you're there all the time if you're there those little bits of time. So I'm just going to take that moment and surrender. And you're not supposed to do this, or at least, you know, they always say you're not supposed to bargain with God, but I did. I said, God, because I would just pick up a job and move. Oh, I got a job in Charleston, a job in the Bahamas, bye. And then I'd come back and start all over, kind of living a little gypsy life. And I was like, I want a home. I want to feel safe and in one place. And I was like, God, if you'll help me find a home, I'll go to church. And that rent check that the guy used to come by back in the day when they'd come pick up the rent check, I was like, I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want to pay you rent anymore. I want to buy a house. And I said, and I don't want just any house. I want a cute one. And he goes, I think I know the house you want. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, because I would get it if I could, but his partner wasn't going to go in with him. And he's like, I'll show it to you. And he did. And that ended up being the house that I bought. Wow. And I started going to church, and that was something that immediately, the biggest thing for me was finding an identity that was outside of my performance.
I love that.
My identity was not, well, I had made my identity, oh, this is a cool job. I feel good about myself because of I'm being paid well. I get to be around famous people, you know, whatever. People always thought it was cool, and I thought it was cool. And then when I wasn't, I was just working at the health food store, you know, I was like, who am I? What, you know, oh my gosh, if I wasn't making this money and having a cool job, who am I? And then growing in that spiritual walk of we are each one of us created in this I mean, just, you know, because you're a nurse, all the dynamic ways that your body works and how precious, and if one thing didn't work, how the whole thing breaks down. And you were made with like certain gifts and talents, just like I was. And so just kind of coming into that idea of, I don't have to perform. I don't have to succeed.
Yeah, I love that. And I know I can relate, and so many listeners, because it's a lot of high achievers in listening to this, women, and also just in the healthcare world, our identity is fully related to performance and productivity and how good a nurse and how good a nurse practitioner. And as an athlete, and I know you're an athlete too, that was another place of having identity for me connected to performance.
Yeah.
So when God strips that away, and for those listening who believe in something else, you know, but the idea that that spiritual connection, it's like, those are the gifts, right, that are given us, and to see clarity. I also love how you pointed out that you asked for a sign and that it came, you know, and I love that, because that's that putting it out there, believing, and then being willing to receive, you know, the house. So amazing.
And being surrendered, you know, like kind of, yeah, not letting go of control a little bit. Like, okay, I was going to do it my way, but okay, let me take a step back and just voice, God, this is what I feel like I need. And I'm asking you to help me with it, not me going after it with, you know, the hustle mindset of, okay, I got to get, you know, make this happen, which, you know. And so I believe in divine providence, you know, but I also believe these small things that happen in our lives sometimes have these huge ripple effects, and in such unexpected ways. And so, you know, we both surf. And so while I was working at that health food store, in walks a lady that I really didn't know, selling a used wetsuit to raise gas money to go down to Florida to compete. And I was working the register. I could have been in the bathroom, but I was working the register that day when she came in wanting $50 for a used wetsuit. And I had never thought about surfing. I'd never thought about surfing. And I said, I'll buy that wetsuit. Yeah. And as you know, that wetsuit, that one little random, seemingly random detail impacted my creativity in just huge ways. I mean, my entire career at this point is around surfing. It was the impetus for me to make a documentary film, and then another film, and then to write this book, and my retreats and the writing retreats, like all these things in part came out of that one little thing that I couldn't have predicted, ever gone looking for. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy. And I think it's like that surrender, that willingness, that rawness, sometimes when we're at that open rock bottom sort of moment, and being into what's coming towards us and receiving it.
Yeah.
And that it was, yeah, I love it. It's beautiful. I mean, even you and me meeting in a coffee shop on a random Tuesday, and you wearing a surfer hat and writing, and I'm like, had a Surf Mama sticker or something like that. And then now 2 years later, I get to go on that beautiful Puerto Rico surf retreat trip for my own mind, body, and spirit. And I mean, lots of fun things along the way in between too, surfing, but
yeah,
those moments are really special. And sometimes it takes stepping out of our comfort zone, right? To lean into, can I buy the wetsuit? Hey, what are you typing over there in that corner?
yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned your passion of surfing. I want to talk a little more about that. Well, you brought up something really interesting that I think I would like to hear more about, your creativity and surfing. A lot of times when I encourage women that I coach to step into their passion, I'm thinking of it more from the angle of to help them just prioritize themselves, relax, have fun, which does all that, help with burnout. But I love that you brought up that it helps your creativity, because for the entrepreneurial spirit, it really gives me like food for thought that going surfing can help my business. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Well, I just think I believe, well, have you ever done the Enneagram personality?
No, I need to.
Well, so I'm a seven, and they will, one of the things the sevens like to do is have fun. But I don't think it's just for the sevens, because I believe that playfulness, that having fun and playing, is a huge generator of creativity. It's really hard to be creative when you're working deadline to deadline, you're under a bunch of stress, and you're in survival mode. I don't know how you can be creative then. Being creative involves having time to play. And years ago, I did the Artist Way book, and she talked about doing the artist date, taking the artist out for a date. But you could frame it any kind of different way, taking your creative self for a date. But those things that bring you enjoyment, just because they bring you enjoyment, going to a movie by yourself, getting the popcorn, getting the candy, enjoying the movie, take yourself to the bookstore and get the magazines or whatever. And exercise only compounds the greatness of that idea, I think, because then you're adding on the endorphins of the sport, or the endorphins that are just kind of being outside in nature, you know, and mental health. Those were all things we tried to encourage people to do. Even if it's just a walk in nature, would be an opportunity to take yourself on a date and open up an avenue for communion with God, communion with yourself, playfulness in that sense of awakening creativity in you, and giving yourself those breaths of not being up under the weight of the deadlines or the stress and the voices in your head.
So, yeah. Oh, absolutely. The stories in our head. And I love that, because it's like, I call it being in flow, you know, and we're just in flow, and you and I both know, and you know, a lot of our listeners may not surf, but that idea of doing something that brings us to total presence, you know, when we're surfing, I feel so connected to God, to the present moment, and really have to, otherwise, you know, you might get hurt, right? And so I just find that flow really powerful. And often after surfing, I just feel I'm more productive. I feel rested, oddly. And I feel that I can do more in less time in my business, my job.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've found that, but it's almost that my brain is more focused when I'm not spinning in the hamster wheel.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, sometimes I am tired. Sometimes I come back from surfing and I think, I just need a nap in the hammock.
That's good too.
But I generally may be tired, you know? So, I mean, it just depends on, what your body needs at the moment. But it's kind of like when you're up a little bit, like if you feel good, then you almost kind of want to add another thing that feels good. So for instance, if it's Saturday morning and I go surf and I come back, I might want to have fun with my husband. You know, it's like, you've put in motion this thing that you're feeling good. You want to spread that good thing and then add more to it. So I do think it, I don't know, I feel that way, not just surfing, but like even when I go to church on Sunday, we come home and then we're like, well, maybe we want to go out to lunch, or, you know, there's just these little things where you want to prolong that good vibe. And I don't know, I think making time for yourself, I do see that women struggle with prioritizing themselves, especially moms who are investing so much in those moments with the kids. And then if you've got the career and the mom and the husband, it's a lot. It is a lot. And I think one thing that I don't think women do enough, and, you know, maybe it's just positive self-talk, but I think there's something more to it. But I mean, like, not just positive self-talk, but like, you are a badass. That is amazing. Like really telling yourself, really like stepping back and appreciating, like, unbelievable what you can do. And I think somewhere in there, there's this, like, you just need to be fed. And quite likely, the husband's not going to feed that because he's not even going to know that you need that, or might not even see all that you're doing because he's at work or whatever it is. So we've got to feed ourselves some of that.
I love that. Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's one reason I probably surf. I feel like a badass, right?
Yeah.
Right? Afterwards. And it could, my kids could have complained all morning long about the food, and my husband could have, whatever. I love him, but he maybe had a moment. And I go out there, I run into people like you. My vibe changes. I drop on one good wave and I come out feeling like I'm on top of the world. And yeah. I love that. And I think for a lot of women, it could be, it, you know, their surfing could be dancing or
running
or even crafting, crocheting. And, you know, it's not as physical, but that idea of like just being present and being good at something and feeling in that flow. So I really love that. So I'm curious, what with your passion of surfing, how did that evolve? Was it easy for you to just drop everything on any given day? Because I know you went into working with kids with special needs then after the film industry. And so how did that work when you went kind of back to a real career again?
Right. Well, but I was very blessed to have a job that was very flexible. So that's one of my worst, one of the things that's probably that I would avoid like the plague is micromanagement. I have to have that. I have to feel like I'm free, even if I'm not, you know? So if you want to see me act out real poorly, put me in a situation being micromanaged and the 10-year-old will come out. But those jobs were almost always on a schedule that I could, nobody wants to meet with me at 7 a.m. So unless it was a crazy school meeting, I had mornings and I made that the priority. Every morning I would get up if there was a wave, even more so than I do now, but I went every morning. I would go no matter what it was, no matter anybody else was going with me. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I liked how I felt when I did it. I would just go. And I never regret. There's no mornings that I ever regret going to the beach. Even if I just took a walk and didn't look like anything and I took a walk. It is so beautiful. And, you know, we're on the East Coast, so we have the sunrise. But even if it's not rising on the West Coast when we're in Puerto Rico, that color that the sun, that rising sun moments on the water, on the clouds, on the sky, the way everything looks, you can't help but just breathe different and appreciate and be thankful for where we live, what we have, what life is, and the beauty all around us. So to me, I think beauty is inspiring. And then as far as taking that leap, I would say like I got to the place with work, like I made the couple of films and
okay. I'm going to pause you there because that's really good. And I want to take a short little break and then we'll come back and hear about your big leap into your dreams right after the break.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of DreamVision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
Are you a high-achieving woman sick of the grind, feeling stuck in your job, and lost sight of what feeds your soul? You crave a passion-driven life with more time for adventures and the people you love, but aren't sure how to get there. Join us for Nurse Your Soul Fridays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This show will empower you to reprioritize yourself, your passions, find joy through adventure, and transform burnout into thriving. Lisa and her guests will uncover the mindset shifts, alternative healing modalities, rituals of self-nurture, endorphin-pumping adventures, and leaps they took to follow their passions and redefine success. Get ready, because this show might just inspire you to drop into your dreams too. Lisa and her guests not only transformed their burnout into thriving, but unlocked endless possibilities for themselves. Join us every Friday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. We have Laurel Senek here, and we are talking all things stepping into your passions, working through some burnout. And now we are going to hear a little bit more about how she took the big leap from leaving her house calls, healthcare job, counseling job into becoming, well, she always has been, but stepping into her truth as a writer, a filmmaker, a surf retreat host, and really living that dream life. And one thing I wanted to say, Laurel, before you share that you shared before the break was that idea of flexibility and autonomy, and that being sort of a priority for you in your work schedule. And I think that's huge, because like for us to identify what it is we need in a workday, in a job, so that we can do our passion is really powerful. And that a lot of jobs will work around that, right? If we say, yeah, I want to work from home, or I'd like to start at 10 a.m., you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was really,
because we're going to give our best when we have what we need. Otherwise, we're running on fumes. And so, I mean, obviously, if you're a nurse and you're in the healthcare positions and career that you studied for, you want to serve people. But you know, it's like the flight attendant says, you got to put the mask on first. So, but for transitioning for me was less about taking the big leap as it was taking small leaps. Mm. So, I was able to shoot a film between my job. So whether it was an evening or a morning or between two clients, I would just set up, because the first one was a documentary. So I just had to make appointments with people around my interviews. So, and then find the time, you know, I'm not a workaholic. I've never been a workaholic.
Awesome.
I mean, I can work for hours on end in something creative, and I can do my job, and I got good at doing my job, so I could minimize the time that I spent doing the paperwork and the admin things and really was in the moment with the families. When, you know, when you're there, you're at their home, so it's all in. But then at the times that some people might take a couple hours writing a note, I'm done in 10 minutes, you know, I'm like, and so for me, it was being inspired, by the surfing. I mean, I'll never forget. I was at a coffee shop telling a woman that I'd recently met. They'd moved from Atlanta, and they were pretty new believers, actually. They were going to our church, and we met for coffee, and I was just telling her about surfing, and her husband surfed, and I said, you know, I'd really love to do a documentary about my surf community. And she's like, oh my gosh, you know, can I tell my husband about it? Because he is a photographer. They worked in advertising, and he would love to like try out film, and he loves surfing. And I was like, sure, yeah. You know, I would take all the help I could get, you know, and it had just started brainstorming. It was just, I think that may have been the first time I verbalized what I thought about it. And before I left the coffee shop, a group of old film buddies came into the shop. And so, you know, I went over there and I was chatting, and I was like, you know, and they chatted, and I was like, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. I'd like to do a document. You know, what are you up to? Well, I love surfing, and, you know, I would like to do a little document. Well, we're not working right now. We'd be happy to help. And I'm like, oh my God, I left there going, shoot, I really got to do this because I've already got people wanting to help. And so that's where it went from there. I mean, I've never been on a project before like that where everything came as I needed it. And I just had to take the next step. Mm. Even to the editor, we saw each other on the St. Patty's Day run. She was talking about what she was working on. And I was like, yeah, I just need to find. She was like, well, I'd like to help. And she did wedding videos and had done editing stuff. And I was like, I would love for you to do it. You know, I mean, it was just, I would have never made that film if I hadn't gotten out of the film business.
That's so interesting. And yeah. I love that you said, you know, you make it sound so easy, by the way, because I don't, for me, speaking my truth to people when I started my business was really scary. Like, I was like scared to say I'm a nurse practitioner becoming a coach to help empower women, you know, that who are overcoming burnout. But the more I spoke it, like you just said, mm-hmm. the more I shared it, opportunities would arise.
This, I think, is important. And we were kind of talking about this before we started the podcast, even making it easy for ourselves to do a step. So like with that, we were talking about on Instagram, I wanted to do a survey and people had to click off the site to share what their thoughts were. But really, if I had made it so that they could share their thoughts right there without moving off the site, that would have been easier for them to share. As is, without me quitting my job and starting a whole new career, I got to play director, producer, make a little film, which also opened up a ton of doors for me. That's how I ended up going to Puerto Rico. I'm at a local film festival that invited Any Given Morning was the name of the film to show there. And I was talking, you know, you got to meet all these other filmmakers and they're like, oh, you should submit to this. There's this Australian film festival that, you know, is a great surf break. And I was like, what? Submitting my film also where I might surf? That just blew my mind. I was like, oh, let me look at all these places that I might can submit my film that I would also enjoy surfing at. And that's how I ended up at the Rincon International Film Festival. And it's unbelievable to me that that one thing got me to Rincon for the first time. I stayed at the Rincon Inn, which was more hostel than hotel or motel. And here we are 15 years later, 20 years later, I'm running retreats and riding retreats at our home that's two blocks away from the Rincon Inn.
Amazing. It's amazing.
That's God.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. I mean, I think that's part of, you know, and that's, I'm coming to that question. It's kind of like your nuggets of wisdom for women who are afraid to take these leaps. And mm-hmm. mention, and I don't know if that was one of them, but, you know, taking small leaps. And I would call that a side hustle. You kind of had a side hustle going on while you had your day job. And now it's a side hustle that fed your soul, it sounds like. So it wasn't like
financial.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it wasn't burning you out. It was probably feeding you, inspiring you.
So, oh, yeah.
That's powerful. And then it really sounds like for you, the spiritual, like listening to God and that intuition and really following those seeds and moving forward, trusting. What else was it, or what else would you share for women who are kind of like, oh, that's you. I can, you know, I know when I saw women living lives like you, back when I was at the bedside, I'd feel like, well, they're special, or they just, things come easy, or they have money, or these are the thoughts when
you
stuck. And well, you see someone living a dream, it's like, how, but how do you do it, you know?
Right. So I would say one of the things that motivated me, so let's say, you know, the film and even another film. So I made two films, still worked at my same job, never made a dime off any of that. That was just, it opened doors that I got to go have fun and do this. They were fun things. And like I said, I am highly motivated by fun, so that helps me. But so here we get to a place where I am struggling at my job. It's been, you know, over 15 years at the same job, and, or no, 10 years at the same job, but doing the same job for much more than that. But work is getting less fun, less and less fun. And suddenly we come back from a vacation in Puerto Rico, and I had been planning. So I guess there was a breaking point, but before the breaking point, there were signs. And I thought, I don't want to do this forever. What do I want to do? What's my end game? What's my my next thing? And I guess maybe that conversation came after a first step. But again, we talked about how some of these really low points turn things into a new direction for us. And so for me, it was a miscarriage that had happened and to Don and I. And it was a couple of weeks before a friend mentioned, we were just on the phone. She mentioned there's a writing group that's starting in our area. They have chapters, and it was one opening in Wilmington. And it was that one sentence. When she said it, I was like, what time is it? What day is it? I will be there, because I instinctively knew processing would happen for me. And I just thought I'd do nonfiction. So that's when I got there, I wrote like kind of what I felt like God was saying to me, or what, you know, making sense of this terrible thing that had happened and healing. And, but it was like a year and a half or 2 years later that the president of the chapter said, Laurel, you're so creative. I think you should try fiction. And I just took that as a word from God, like, okay. And as soon as I thought, okay, I thought, here is what I've been looking for. But when we started surfing, I went and read all the surf books, and none of them had a main character that was a woman who surfed. It was always the girlfriend character, the side character, but she usually didn't even surf if they were in the book. And so when she said that, it was like, ding, ding, I want to write that book that I wanted to read and pray that other people will want to read it. And so that's when I started writing this book. Well, as my job got less fun and less fun, I just started imagining, okay, can this be my next thing? Could this be the career that I go to after I lose this job or leave this job? And thank God I didn't know that it was going to take 8 years to write that book, okay? Because I would have never started it. I would have never started it. But because, and I didn't even know how bad, you know, I mean, I knew it was bad, but then you'd edit it and you're like, okay, I think, you know, it's getting close. And then like, the more you learn, the more I learned, the more I realized, oh my God, it's still terrible. Still terrible. Still terrible. Still terrible. But eventually it got to a place that it wasn't so terrible. And I had imagined that it was going to be another couple of years before I quit my job. I wasn't planning to quit before I published. I wanted to publish. Hopefully, you still have that other income and my insurance and all that, you know, thing. But we came back from Puerto Rico and I had a new boss. I had a new clinical supervisor. It was micromanaging. I mean, imagine for 10 years I've made my own schedule and they wanted to start making it for me with the families that I was going to meet with. It was like, they didn't even make sense. It was insanity. And so by March, no, we came back right before March. And then in April and May, Don was already saying, I think you're going to have to let it go and we will make do. And I'm like, no, you know, let's get through the summer. The summer there opens up times to see the kids. And then by the end of the summer, I was having trouble sleeping. There was some very toxic stuff happening. And I just was like, ugh. And he's like, look, why don't you, let's look at this budget. We can make it on my income. And we will just be cautious and, you know, but you focus on your creative stuff. And I was finally like, okay, bye, see ya. And, but if I hadn't have said no, if I hadn't have let this go, you know, I made that other little short film, The Waxy Wahinis. That's this kid's show that I imagine one day will be a TV show, hopefully. But it would have never happened. And then
Your job never would have happened? Or you're the book?
Well, that Waxy Wahini film that I got to take to the Malibu Queen of the Point contest, the New York Women's Surf Film Festival, those were both places that the next year I got to take foam to. I got to do signings at. Mm-hmm. And so those small things just open up these other doors. I met so many female surfers or lady surfers and lady surfing entrepreneurs, you know, that really kind of opened up doors for me for this book that I didn't know at the time, you know?
So many nuggets in there about taking leaps for women who feel stuck and men, really. And what I heard is just, you know, identifying when you felt stuck, you started to envision what you wanted. You took a moment once again to pause and say, what is it I want for the long run here?
Right.
And then I love once again, how just that spiritual voice, that inner voice, that ability to just listen and see the signs and be open. A writing workshop, I'm going. Why not? It feels good, you know, listening to what feels good in that moment for healing was also what I heard in your terrible loss. And that it just was, I need this for healing and something more. And that's so beautiful. I also kind of heard you say that fun has been guiding you all along the way. And I love that. I don't hear that enough from high achieving women, from successful entrepreneurs, that, you know, fun, you know, we can measure our success with fun. We can measure our happiness with fun. And I just think that's such a beautiful tip. Anything else you want to add before we?
Well, let's just say, thankfully, it got flipped. So, you know, when I was in the 20s, the fun was snorting cocaine. Thankfully, you know, my spiritual walk helped me. Like, I think about the opportunities I did miss it working in the film business while I did have all the stupid behaviors that a lot of 20-year-olds have. But I think, wow, you know, I did get to come back around and really appreciate those things that I didn't get to appreciate because I was too busy thinking I had to have fun in a different way. You know, so there is that opportunity, I think, that we each have to trust that we were made for a purpose. Like, in you is a design like no one else, and a gift that the world needs that no one else can give it, by you being your best you. And so taking the time to slow down a bit and listen, and I think I might have sent it to you, but if I haven't, I will. But the latest book I read when I first got to Puerto Rico this year, called God Talks. And this guy was, he's a business consultant, and realizing that we can actually pray and have some downloads of divine wisdom in your next steps. And that is powerful. That's powerful because then we get to kind of circumvent some of the potholes and pitfalls that we would normally fall in. And that can make a big difference in our lives.
Awesome. I love that. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, we'll get to hear some of our final pearls of wisdom and where you can find more of Laurel.
Edesia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based ready-to-use foods. Edesia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edesia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit edesiaglobal.org.
Are you a high-achieving woman sick of the grind, feeling stuck in your job, and lost sight of what feeds your soul? You crave a passion-driven life with more time for adventures and the people you love, but aren't sure how to get there. Join us for Nurse Your Soul Fridays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This show will empower you to reprioritize yourself, your passions, find joy through adventure, and transform burnout into thriving. Lisa and her guests will uncover the mindset shifts, alternative healing modalities, rituals of self-nurture, endorphin-pumping adventures, and leaps they took to follow their passions and redefine success. Get ready, because this show might just inspire you to drop into your dreams, too. Lisa and her guests not only transformed their burnout into thriving, but unlocked endless possibilities for themselves. Join us every Friday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé. That's Mylène Riobé, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Mylène the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Mylène is the founder of Awakened Wellness Now, an online education community dedicated to helping exhausted entrepreneurs recover from burnout and live their best lives. She's also a practicing physician at the New York Center for Integrative Health in New York City. For more information, visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. So we are here with Laurel Sunick, and this has been a fantastic show. We've been talking all things, taking big leaps, following your passions, following your heart, healing, connecting with God. And now we're going to take some final nuggets, pearls of wisdom from Laurel, and one tip that she has for y'all on how to drop in on fear. One of the things I hear the most from women in entrepreneurship, women in healthcare, women wanting to make shifts in their life to feel better is fear. Fear holding them back, fear keeping them kind of stuck. Some people use the word small. I don't love that word, but that, not living to our full potential. What would you say, Laurel, has been really helpful for you in overcoming fear? Or what's one tip?
Okay. Well, I know I've talked a lot about fun, but I'm going to mention it one more time. But so for instance, when we surf, sometimes we have to drop in on big waves that are scary. And one of the things that helped me the most, because if you drop in and you blow it or you don't make it, you're going to get tumbled and pummeled and all underwater. You know, many people panic, and then that's really dangerous or scary. If you're not coming up for air, obviously you're underwater. So what I did was I reframed the fall to be fun. Mm-hmm. And you can use something that's helpful for you. You don't have to use the fun thing, but I reframed my fall to be, oh my gosh, I'm doing gymnastics underwater. Because the goal when you're underwater is to remain calm until the thrashing stops. And that's when you use the energy to come up for air. And if you panic before then, that's not a good thing. You'll need air sooner. So when I reframe the fall to be fun, I'm falling on water. I'm not falling in concrete. It's not like I'm skateboarding. I'm going to fall and hit the concrete or hit a wood floor. I'm falling in water. I'm tumbling around like we did when we were kids, and we just jump in the water and tumble around and do little spins underwater. And then I can come up for air. So when I started reframing it from the scary, oh my God, I'm going to, drown, or I don't want to go for this wave because it's too big, and if I miss it, what's going to happen? I reframed it to be something that I kind of like, or it's fun. So you could use something else. Maybe you could come up with something else that you would use, but
I love that. No, I love that. I love that. That's why I say dropping on fear, because surfing is that analogy for me too. It's sort of being willing to fail. Like for me, I have a lot of fear of failure. And so with surfing, no one's probably watching me, but I always feel like someone's watching me if I drop it and fall, right? And so my typically not that I'm going to get hurt, but that I'm afraid to fail. And what I've come to become friends with is those mini failures, if you want to call them that, are growth. That's how I've gotten better at surfing. The falling helps me get better. It helps me up well so that I can ride better waves, harder waves, conditions that are challenging. And so I've come to see those falls as stepping stones. So I think
that's beautiful.
Perfect.
Yeah. For especially in entrepreneurship or small businesses, all those things, if failing is part of the process, and failing doesn't mean that you lose everything. Failing is just a hiccup of a stepping stone that leads to the next one. Just like my edits, I can't edit it all at once. I can only edit so much in one pass. And so it's not done. I like to think it's done when I finish that edit, but then I get to go back. I would have never gotten to where it is when I released it if I didn't keep going back after. When I look at it, I'm like, this is the worst writing ever.
Well, I love your reframe of falling is fun, because I think that can help a lot of people who are stuck in their job right now, that maybe they can't make that shift this second, but how can they start to look at some of the challenges as fun, or even taking that leap, that journey into something else as fun, rather than scary, and seeing it as an opportunity. So that's really good. Any final pearls of wisdom that you want to share for our listeners? We call it food for the soul on this show, and you've shared so much already, but any final thoughts?
I'll say two quick things. One is, I almost wasn't afraid to start. I was more afraid to stay. And so part of the motivation to go into something a little bit scary is, I don't want to stay. This is not what so I let that motivate me. That kept me coming back to my edits, because I don't want to stay here. I don't want to keep working this job. So if I keep editing, eventually, if I don't give up, and that's something for everybody, if you don't give up, you will succeed. So just don't stop. And then I guess the other thing is, what's a practical step to get there is, for me, I am motivated and encouraged when I listen to podcasts that are by someone who is doing it and having success at it. So I listen to a lot of writing, authors that have a podcast that share about publishing, or, I'll caution people not to just focus on, because of course, as a business person, you want to make money. That is something we need to happen from our business. But I've listened to some podcasts about making money, and that feels like it subverts my focus. I think we all need to focus on the thing. I mean, yes, money has to come in and it does have to be thought of as a business. Writing is a business. All these other things. Coaching is a business. Yes, we have to make good business decisions. But focusing on how can my writing be better? How can I serve my reader better? Those are the things that drive me and motivate me and encourage me, because then I see them doing it. You're doing it, right?
Yeah, it's like that. When you're aligning, Gabby Bernstein is someone I listen to podcast. She's a public speaker and a writer. And she talks about, you know, when you align your passion and you're there to serve, you can't lose. You just can't lose.
Yes.
As an entrepreneur. And you will, the money will follow. And so I think that's what I'm hearing you say, is just really trying to, that's okay. Follow that. And I think for some of us, for me, and I love that tip you gave, listening to money, it helps me get over about money. It helps me get over limits and blocks around money, which can be there and can affect my business. But sure, it's true. The why has to be there. You know, why you want to do this, how you want to impact people.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a fantastic tip. And speaking of podcasts, this is a good segue. You have your own podcast that has a little bit of a different theme. Can you remind me what the name of it is and where people can
find it? You've been on it, Post-Session Podcast. And it's just it's an ocean theme podcast that it's about bringing adventure in your life and celebrating adventure, which is, you know, pretty fun.
Love it. Definitely check that out. And where else can our listeners find more of you, follow you, and get your book?
Okay. So my book is called Foam. It is a surf adventure suspense, a little romance, a little bit of everything. It is kind of at all the main places. But if you go to Foam, F-O-A-M, thenovel.com, it does take you to my website, or laurelsinek.com. And then you can buy the book from there and it'll take you to all the places. And you can kind of, if you're interested in a surf retreat or a riding retreat, you can just see all the stuff that I'm up to.
Awesome. And just because I am not the best speller, how can we spell Sinek so people can find
it? Yes.
There'll be a link below too, but.
Okay. It's S-E-N-I-C-K. So like S-E-N-I-C, so Sinek.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's why I did foamthenovel.com.
It's easier.
It does take you to my website.
That's really good. I'm going to use that tip. Well, Laurel, this has been so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So much. And I look forward to seeing more of what you offer here locally and globally. And for our listeners, they'll be able to find more info about you in the show notes. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. This was so much fun.
Absolutely. And for all our listeners, we will see you next Friday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining Nurse Your Soul with Lisa Dunlap, holistic nurse practitioner and burnout coach on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Lisa next time for inspiring stories of women who have pursued their passions as medicine for the soul on Fridays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. They've transformed their mental, emotional, and physical health by following their hearts, reconnecting to their passions, building their own businesses, redefining success, or reconnecting to adventure. Find us at nurseyoursoulwithlisa.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.